A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
How nice the project is and how uplifting it is. He said, yeah. You know, our town really needs
it. It's not political. There's no ulterior motive. There's no selfishness from artists trying to compete with anyone else. It's just a family, you know, with a lad who's painting and loads of people getting involved.
Yeah, it's hard not to love it, isn't it?
And it's beautiful. It really is.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by bagging these bongos.
Yeah, right. Crazy.
Hello and welcome to episode number 86 of the Ministry of Arts podcast. Today, I'm introducing you to an artist that only started collaborating with other artists during lockdown. Nothing special, you might think. His name is Background Bob, aka Noah, and is a severely disabled young lad that just so happened to have made hundreds of new friends during lockdown. To keep Noah busy, his father, Nathan, contacted a couple of friends of his on the street art scene and asked if they'd create an artwork over the top of a painting that Noah had made on cardboard. Well, they agreed, and it just grew and grew and grew. So Noah and his family had to cap it at 250 collaborations. And so that we can all see these collaborations, Background Bob, his family and friends have created an amazing book that you can order today. It's called Background Bob and His Amazing Friends. And all the money that's generated will be going to the local hospital that has always cared for Noah. So please, come with me and listen to this beautiful story, which was recorded over Zoom for social distancing reasons, about Background Bob.
Background Bob is my 12-year-old son, Noah, who is quite severely disabled. He has hydrocephalus, epilepsy and cerebral palsy. Despite all that, is a horrendously funny, smiley kid who has kind of defied all the hospital rules and become stronger and stronger each day as he gets older and older. And it's a complete joy to be around. The Background Bob is a persona that I know a lot of the art guys, especially the street art guys, will work under a pseudonym name, and so we decided to do that as well. Also keeps a little bit of privacy for us, kind of without his name being used too much, but also the name just sort of pops up to me quickly, and so then I quickly ran into my oldest son's bedroom, Reuben, and asked him to quickly set up an account because I didn't know how to do it. And then it all just kind of spawned from there.
So just, I mean, we're recording at the moment. So just tell us about the idea for Background Bob, how it come about and how it's grown?
Yeah, well, like everyone, I mean, when lockdown first happened, I'm sure lots of parents were struggling with how they were going to entertain their children at home. And also, you know, as a parent, just the sheer dread of having to do that. and also, he is a Noah's a boy who likes to be kept busy. He does require sort of 24-hour care. I mean, so someone has to be with him all the time. His fits kind of come and go, so and you have to watch him a lot. So their interaction with him is constant.
Yes.
And so painting is something that he does as part of his school life. We try to keep the school day as normal as possible, and the school were very good with helping us with that. But painting is one of the things, and actually it spawns sort of from a semi-argument between me and my wife, where she was she's a teacher working from home, and she had to go and do a Zoom call herself, and and she said, can't you just, you know, just go and entertain him for half an hour? So we went out to the garage, got some paint. We quickly sort of put some paint on some cardboard, and it kept him busy for sort of half an hour, 45 minutes. I think most of all, he likes sort of making the mess more than the painting sometimes. and just also, he really, really thrives off interaction with people.
Yeah.
So we painted the cardboard, and then I just thought, I'm going to ask a few artists if they want to collaborate. I know quite a few on social media. I'm friends with a few. And, you know, we hoped that sort of people would kind of, you know, join in and entertain us. And by the end of the first day, I think we had sort of 45 artists had come forward, and some really sort of like, you know, prolific, high profile artists as well, which is really nice. And then, you know, like things do on social media, it snowballed.
Yeah.
I mean, we certainly didn't expect it to snowball. I mean, we were, you know, we were expecting maybe 10, 15 people to kind of, you know, entertain us, as it were, to kind of do it. But by the end of the first day, we knew kind of we'd sort of got something. And then obviously, as slowly as work started kind of coming back to us, we, you know, realised that social media again kind of helps so much to grow something, because some of these artists have got such a massive audience who aren't our friends or aren't our contacts, and then more and more people got involved. I mean, initially we actually only painted 8 backgrounds. and I sort of kind of went, that one's for him, that one's for him, that one's for him, and hoped that those 8 would kind of join in.
And then it just goes to show you how when you put something out of social media and take it out of your control, it just takes on the life of its own, doesn't it?
It did, yeah. And actually, I mean, it was really lovely, but it was quite, initially, it was quite a flippant, you know, half an hour kind of, or a couple of days at the most project. It was just going to happen, you know, and then we're going to quickly auction it off, and it wasn't going to last very long. And then we realised, oh, 45, you know, he's not a prolific painter,
but by
any means, you know, it is a process. And also we love the process to be engaging. So kind of if a background has 3 colours on, he's chose those colours by eye gazing. Sometimes we say, do you want purple, blue? And, you know, you've already got some red and orange on there, then he wants to choose purple. And you say to him, purple doesn't really work. And, you know, and it gives you a look as if to say, you know, I'm the artist.
Yeah,
sharp on it. And, you know, and obviously there was days as well where he just didn't want to do it.
Yeah, of course.
You know, just threw the papers on the floor and just, you know, so.
Yeah, you definitely can't fault him, that's for sure.
No.
Presumed you might get 8. By the end of the first day, you had 40-ish. How many have you ended with?
We actually sent out 250, and we capped it at 250 because we were aware that we kind of then wanted to maybe do something with the project, but we were also aware that we were kind of growing it so quickly that it was making it unable to do something with it.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of in the back of our mind thought, you know, if we have an exhibition of it, you know, we can't just have like 600 pieces. But also, we just sort of thought of that as a number. I mean, initially, we let it run and run. And a few of our friends on social media were going, you should just let it keep running. Just let it keep running. You know, grow it to whoever wants to have a go of it. And I probably have another further 300 messages on my phone of people who expressed an interest to kind of be involved, and you know, lovely kind of lovely people wanting to just do something to do with the project. And some of, you know, some of them were honest enough to say they're not artists, but they just wanted to be involved. And but we took some advice, really. I mean, there was an early part of the project when it was when the BBC website got involved that just blew the project up so much. So many people came forward, especially from overseas people, because obviously the website goes worldwide. And then we, that's when we realized that we'd sort of created a bit of a monster, and we had to just try and rein it in a little bit, just for our own. It was taking up so much time, which was okay, but at the time I was still working, so you know, kind of coming home from work and then having to sort of, you know, do sort of 3 hours of admin.
And I suppose on the flip side to all of that, if it became too much, it'd no longer be fun for Noah.
No, exactly. And we were very aware that we didn't want it to be like a, you know, like a production line of stuff. I mean, we stuck to that every time he painted no more than 20 at a time, which normally sort of took about an hour or so. And then
they're A4 size roughly, aren't they?
And they've got like three colours on. So kind of like, you know, we kind of two or three at least. And we tried to sort of do it as a sort of a process. So kind of, you know, he had some yellow to bits, a few bits, and then he chose the next colour, and then he chose the next colour.
What did you do? Paint large ones and then cut them down?
No, they were all actually originally when we first started this. I just went out to the garage and found some old. They're actually these old nappy boxes that we were getting ready to recycle. So not only is it recycled goods, it was getting rid of some of our rubbish out of our garage, which early on everyone had lots of rubbish in their garage, didn't they? Because the dustbin men weren't coming round, and so that's how that started. And it, and then very quickly we realised, I think after about the 45 people, we realised we actually didn't have any cardboard. It was a weird thing to sort of think of, but we hadn't thought that we might.
Haven't thought that far ahead.
No, we ran out of paint. You know, it was all things like this. And then quickly, one of our friends who owns a company down the road from us, I'll name check him because he'll like it, Miles Wilson from ML Panels, he had loads of cardboard laying around. So he just said, just come and grab some. And he had great big sort of 8x4 foot sheets of it. So that was my process every night, was to cut them all up ready. And get it all ready for the next stage, as it were.
Yeah.
And because obviously he wasn't at school and we had the whole day to kill, finding an hour every day was actually quite easy to paint. And initially, you know, it's not something that he does on a daily basis at school.
Yeah.
But he really sort of expressed an interest in doing it, you know, kind of got really excited, kind of getting all the paints out, making a mess, putting it all back. And
when it started growing, did you contemplate sellotaping a brush to each hand and foot and letting him loose all together?
There was a bit where we did actually, like you said, thinking about actually just painting the whole sheet and then kind of cutting it all up. But again, just little things like that caused like logistic problems, kind of just getting in close enough to it all. And there was a little bit where we, the white paint on the pieces, I did that on purpose. There was two reasons for that. It was to make his colours really pop a little bit, but also to have some sort of unification in all of the pieces of work. So they all kind of had that same vibe.
So he's painted the background, hence background Bob. And then you sent this, the A4 piece of cardboard out to, as you said, around about 250 artists. Off the top of your head, could you name a few of those?
This is the worst thing, I've dealt with it so much.
I could imagine. I could
probably name 200 of them and tell you all of their Instagram links as well. I've had to respell and respell them and write them down so many times. So yes, we've got My Dog Size is involved, Pez, Carl Griffith, Corp, Noel, Ange Bell, Anna Schellberg, Trust Icon, Penny. The list just goes on and on.
Yeah.
I mean, I, you know, I it's can. Um, We were really, really surprised by, definitely how many people came forward, but also the caliber of artists that came forward as well. There were some really nice names in there, and you know, we were very aware that kind of getting some of the big boys and girls involved would grow our project. But initially, it kind of actually wasn't even about that. It was actually just about kind of having them involved.
Yeah.
And social media is great for that, because, you know, I have a thing with, I like to engage with artists, and I tend to buy work off artists that are engaging.
Yeah.
It's kind of important for me to sort of find out a little bit about the person and who you're buying off and who you're supporting. And so the more engaging the artist is, the more chance there is of us buying stuff from them.
You've had lots of them engaged recently.
I think it's just quite nice. I mean, I've made an effort to anyone who's got involved. I've visited their Instagram and their Facebook pages, and just tried to find out a bit more about them. You know, art's a very faceless sort of society, and you know, there's probably quite a few artists in the group that if they were sat next to me, I wouldn't know who they were, because they never post their face for whatever reason. Some of it's just because they don't want to. I mean, some of it, I guess, because they're street artists, they definitely don't want you to see their face.
I mean, I first saw of what you're doing via Heath Kane, when Heath Kane posted something up, and I've been friends with Heath for some time. And then just by chance, I was doing a podcast with Jacqueline de Montaigne in Portugal, and we started talking about you, and it turns out we'd sort of both got involved, which was great.
It was really surreal, actually, because I heard about you through other people, and I was at work, and at work I quite like to listen to podcasts because it's quite easy. It can be on in the background. And the very first podcast I listened to was one with you and Jacqueline. And I obviously didn't know you were going to talk about background. So, you know, I listened to the whole thing and I thought, oh, this is really lovely, you know, to find out a bit about the artist. And so it was actually really quite surreal to listen to you both talking about it. Really, really lovely. And actually, I packed up work after the podcast and ran and sort of drove home, and then made my wife listen to it.
Oh, superb.
I kept on saying, who is it? What is this? What's this about? And I kept on saying, just keep listening. And then she was like, oh my God, they're talking about it. Heath Kane was one of those other artists who grew the project sort of quite early on. He was, he was really approachable, really lovely, and really supportive of it all. And actually, I didn't realise that he actually doesn't really live that far away from me either. It was that engaging thing, you know, kind of he didn't just sort of say yes to the project. He kind of wanted to find out more, and he was, you know, we had sort of like a half an hour sort of chat about it, and you know, and all those kind of things just make it a lot more personal. It was, you know, it was a nice way to have sort of dealt with it all.
It is a little bit of Christmas Day opening up.
I tell you what, it was what actually kept us going through, because, you know, some of the days were long, you know, kind of having him at home and entertaining him all day can feel like a long day, and having that kind of midday post turn up.
Yeah.
And I think we had about 20 days in a row where at least one turned up. There was a couple of days where 10 turned up. And then there was one day, it was a bank holiday Monday, and nothing turned up because it's Bank Holiday Monday.
You're standing at the curtain looking at you.
And we explained it to Noah that nothing's turning up today. And he just went like that. And I quickly took a photo of him and did a post where I did just explain to him what a Bank Holiday Monday was. And I think we wrote something like, you know, Bank Holiday Mondays suck. So it was lovely just opening them all up, because during lockdown, who cares about a bank holiday weekend? Every day was a bank holiday day, wasn't it? Yeah, you just lost days. So that kind of kept us going, being able to open up all of the things every day, seeing who sent theirs back and who hadn't.
Is there any that Noah his eyes lit up to more, you know, which he preferred?
Yeah, there were some very bright ones. I mean, he also likes faces. I think he recognises it as a face.
But
most of it came from like our reactions to open it. His brother very kindly sat with him every day and opened up the post with him and sort of showed him them. And you know, it's the reactions and the interactions with us and the pieces of work. I mean, he definitely knows he's called Background Bob now. If you say you know, if you say, come on back, Grandpa, I mean, that's been his name for the last 3 months or so.
Excellent.
Now. So, yeah, it's been lovely. And, you know, it's been really enlightening for him, I think. And I think kind of, you know.
And isn't it good that, you know, you can sit there 20 years, 25, 30 years from now, look back at your life and the darkest year in our lives, you know, has turned out to be the brightest, you know?
Yeah, that for us has been the overwhelming sort of factor of all of this is that, you know, we sort of very early on became aware that we were forming like a really beautiful legacy of kind of whatever happens kind of later on in life with him and us and all of these things, that this has now happened.
Yeah.
And it's here to stay forever.
Yeah.
You know, kind of it's been quite nicely and heavily documented in areas, and you know, when you Google it, it's there. And it's just really nice that, you know, kind of Reuben, my oldest, can kind of like show his family later on.
Yeah.
And it's just always around now.
Yeah.
As a family thing, it's been really great. It's kind of has actually kind of brought everyone together. You know, everyone's been excited, you know. And because it's all addressed to background Bob, you know, we know what it is.
The artworks that you've amassed, you've put into book form.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mm-hmm.
Could you tell us a bit about the book?
Yeah, I mean, the book actually was never really a thought. It was something that that social media just kind of kept on prompting. It was various people said it, various friends of ours said it. There was a few times when we were sort of sat around kind of with a couple of friends around here, sort of when the rules were relaxed a little bit and we could see friends again, where we'd get the artwork out and sort of see it in person. And quite a few friends then said, oh, it looked really good as a book. So we said, let's get all the artwork out and just lay it all out on the floor and see what it looks like. And just see, and there is a picture on Instagram of the work. And I think there's probably only about 80 pieces then. So it wouldn't even fit on my whole floor plan of my house at the moment now, all of it. But it just looked amazing together. But also it was another way of more people kind of getting it, you know, kind of actually being able to have a book, look through all the pieces of artwork, share the project a little bit more, because, you know, our aim was to auction off all of the pieces at some point, but obviously 220 people are just going to end up with a piece of work and that's it. You know, a few more people.
It's not left a mark anywhere, is it, if you just do that?
Yeah, and actually the book is... As soon as it was mentioned, it was something that we got very, very excited about, because we like art books ourselves. You know, we've got quite a few on our, and it's a nice personal way to get to know an artist, see their body of work. You know, and they're quite often done in a stylish kind of nice way.
Yeah.
You know, so it was something that we just thought, oh, it'd be incredible, all very bright. You know, it's a nice story. It's not just a nice story about a little disabled boy kind of having some paintings done. It's a nice story of kind of how, you know, people dealt with lockdown and you know, these incredible artists all kind of came forward to get involved in a cause at a time where, you know, themselves were definitely probably out of work, had all their work cancelled, all their shows were cancelled. I know all the street art festivals were all cancelled.
Yeah.
I'm definitely sure that commissions dried up because people were unsure about spare money to spend on arts, and they definitely weren't supported by the government at the time. So, for me, it was it was another way of kind of, you know, getting some support out for them. It was another way of kind of getting some awareness out of them.
Yeah.
Social media, you know, I mean, I don't know kind of like if it's ended up with anyone getting any commissions out of it, but I know from messages that I've had from people that it's definitely opened up their artist appreciation world of other artists that they haven't heard of before.
Yeah, well, when you posted my one up, I definitely had some dialogue from people that had seen it who I didn't know before.
Yeah, and I think a like and a share, you know, the more I've understood it, Instagram and Facebook, you know, a like and a share kind of goes a long way. And, you know, then artists and people can start engaging with each other. You know, they get to then kind of scroll through all of their stuff and see what they're about, if they're interested, and do some research. And if it leads to a commission, then perfect.
Yeah. So, how much is the book and where can people buy it?
The book is £15 plus postage and packaging. It is available on the charity website. I would give you the link to it, but it's not a very easy to read link. It's not it's not very catchy.
We should add. I'll put this in somewhere else. The proceeds to this book are going to a charity. What charity is that?
They're going to a charity called Ipswich and Colchester Hospitals Charity, which raise funds for Ipswich and Colchester hospitals in our area. Our particular proceeds are going to the Colchester branch of the Children's Ward, where they've obviously looked after Noah so well. He's a bit of a regular there, and rightly so, a bit of a star there as well.
Yeah, good.
You know, and I said he's a happy kid, and I think. He's defied the odds medically a lot. So I think, you know, he's a little success story at the hospital without any of this.
Yeah, excellent.
So now, what's really nice is that there's nurses and doctors at the hospital who have treated him all these years, but now there's nurses and hospitals who are now following him on Instagram and seeing this huge story.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and being on the news and being in the local newspapers. Yeah. So it's been really, you know, in that way, it's lovely to sort of give back in that kind of way.
Yeah. And people can trace the sale of your book from your Instagram page.
You can. It's the easiest way to do it. There's a link in the bio of his Instagram page at background_Bob. It's right at the top of the page there. Click on that. It will send you to the hospital charity site, which is selling the book on our behalf. It gives you a whole little blurb about the story of how it started. So if you're very new to this still, you can still kind of get the gist of the story. And then there's a link. It's £15 plus £5 postage. And I think it's £15 plus £10 postage to any overseas, anywhere in the world.
Beautiful. And you was looking at securing an exhibition for these works as well. Has that happened yet?
I can reveal to you now that that has happened.
Excellent.
It was a lot bigger than we were anticipating. I mean, we very early, tongue in cheek, asked the gallery to get involved.
What gallery was that?
It's a gallery called First Sight in Colchester.
Yeah.
You know, it's a renowned place. They get a lot of traffic through there. They've got some good exhibitions. They also do a lot of charity work for children and stuff, and kind of you know, for the less fortunate kids, and workshops and things. So it's for us, it's our local gallery. It's somewhere where we go quite a lot. The last one we went to see was Andy Warhol. The next time we go, it will be Noah.
Excellent. So,
which is quite a surreal thought at the moment. It's a lovely big place. It's quite a new gallery, newish anyway. And it's a big open space. Noah loves the acoustics in there because it's so big.
Nice.
There's lots of space to move around. You know, it's perfect for us. Yeah. We have to sort of consider planning trips to places because not everywhere is wheelchair friendly, and you know there's loads of great galleries, especially if you go to sort of Bristol and Brighton and places like that. They're on three floors. It's just, you know, not kind of accessible.
Change but artwork. Yeah.
So it's a great place for us.
How many artworks are you able to show there?
All of them.
Okay. Excellent.
And the aim is to kind of have a full kind of, you know, full-on display of everything. So, you know, I'm hopefully going to include some of the lovely letters and stuff that were kind of sent, some of the artwork that artists sent along for Noah's own private collection, which is enormous now. And so it's going to be a great little exhibition, and that will start on the 24th of October, and it will run all the way through till the 31st of January. So plenty of time to plan your trip safely. All we ask is that if people are going, just to have a look on their website, abide by their COVID regulations, and plan your trip safely.
Excellent.
I'd like to just sort of give a few people some recognition. I mean, street art has always kind of been a thing for me, like in the background. Obviously, social media obviously helps a lot more because it made it more accessible, so you can see more pictures, you can converse with more artists and things. But there's a few street art events that really lit our fire for all of this, and also it was something where we could take Noah along. One of those is Corpfest, put on by one of the artists who joined in, called Corp, who's a Peterborough-based artist who every year holds a little intimate kind of art festival where he invites sort of 10 to 20 or 30 artists into his huge studio. And it's a really laid-back event where, you know, there's some music on and kind of you just watch the artists all day. It runs over the whole weekend. That definitely really lit our love for street art. Introduced us to lots of artists, made some great contacts through it all, and some great friends. And the other one is Cheltenham Paint Festival, which I was lucky enough to go to a couple of years ago, and Andy Dice Davis, who runs that, along with Angela Parks at the time. That was a great place to meet people, social network a little bit, and you know, and just see some amazing artwork. It's a well-run festival, get some really big high profile names who do some stunning pieces of work, and that definitely opened the doors to being able to approach and to ask people to kind of get involved in our project, because we'd shared a beer and had a chat. Nice. Mentioning Angela Parks came forward as to help us out being a project manager. I've met her a few times, mainly been at Corpfest and Cheltenham Paint Festival. And she's heavily involved in sort of managing artists. So if there's any artists out there that need management in their life, Angela Parks at Articulate Sage. Without her, this project actually probably would still be a panicky idea. She's very blunt and very to the point, but very, very good at organising stuff. And I'm not. So she was massively fundamental in kind of where this project is now, how successful it's been. But also I'd like to thank Tony Stiles for putting the book together. Angela put us in contact with Tony, and it's strange how you instantly get a vibe of somebody that you definitely want them involved. And his enthusiasm for wanting to be involved in producing this book was sold to us within the first 10 minutes of talking to him.
Excellent.
So what's been really lovely is that community feel of it all, but also everyone else's love of what we're doing has been immense, kind of, you know, and really heartwarming. It's been really humbling at times.
Yeah.
I'd also like to just give Caroline Horn, a photographer, shout out as well, because she did all the photography for the book for free.
Oh, wow.
We know Caroline because she actually was our wedding photographer. So she's seen us at our best and our worst. So it was lovely to have her involved in doing it. For us, it was another personal touch. She knew Noah. She took some lovely photos of Noah on our wedding day. And I knew she would handle it correctly than it kind of just being, you know, paying someone to kind of come in and do it. Last of all, though, I'd really just like to thank the artists. I think without any of them being involved, it would still be it'd still be just paint on cardboard. And it was a massive thing for them to get involved. They grew our project. You know, their social media interaction, their willingness to come forward and get involved so early on and so eagerly. All the messages that we've had from them, all the conversations that we've had from them. And the lovely byproduct of all of this is that, you know, we've had letters that from artists who have been stuck in a rut and then this project came along and it got them out of their rut. But
yeah,
it helped kind of with people's mental health issues, because, you know, everyone was coping with lockdown in their own way. Yeah. You know, and I imagine, you know, some of them were a bit down, kind of, you know, having their whole year cancelled. And so the whole community spirit of everyone kind of pulling together again has just been overemphasized all the time in the project. And it's been kind of tearful at times. I don't know if you saw it, but we one of the artists, Nicey, Nathan Murdoch, he's another friend who I met through Corkfest, a prolific Peterborough artist and muralist. He wanted to get involved, and we sent him some cardboard. He then quickly messaged me and just said, I just can't do it. I can't work this small. I'm used to sort of working, you know, 20 metres at a time. So I jokingly said to him, why don't I send you like an 8x4 piece of cardboard?
Nice.
And he said, no, why don't I just do a piece on the wall? So we ended up sort of going over to Peterborough, and he painted this huge mural of Noah on the wall. Brilliant. in a really high profile place, and very surreal and strange. When we first pulled up where we parked, it was right in front of it. So we were looking for it. And then all of a sudden there was this like 12 foot high picture of him on the wall. Yeah.
Literally can't see the wood for the trees.
Yeah. And actually straight away, both me and my missus, we both started to shed a tear. It was such a strange thing. And obviously Nathan hadn't seen us by that point. So we kind of like composed ourselves and then walked around and said, oh, hi, you know, how you doing? Yeah, and it's just nice knowing that piece of work's out there. It's just nice also, the other thing I've liked about it is how people... how diverse the artwork was. I really liked that, you know, initially, because our love is the street art world, we got the street artists kind of involved, but, you know, art is art, and it all kind of sort of spun off, and various other artists started coming in. We had embroiderers, and we had fine artists, we had printmakers and stuff coming, we had a chef come forward and do a piece, and so when we opened that up to everyone else, that's when the project kind of really grew and became really interesting to see kind of what people wanted to do with it. Because I think the only rule we sent out was that you weren't allowed to swear.
That's fair enough. It's for the children's world.
Your piece again was another piece that unfortunately your piece came in like some days we had two or three pieces turn up, some days we had 10 pieces turn up.
And
I was quite eagerly excited to sort of post them all out, and actually what I maybe should have done is kind of slowed that down and just posted a couple of days out a day. And I posted yours out, and then you messaged me and said, did you read the back? And I thought, oh no, I didn't read the back. And then when I read the back, that was when I showed it to my wife. And again, we both had the tearful moment. It was so, the thing is, I'd obviously researched you when you got involved. And so I knew you were a conceptual artist. So I knew that there'd be something more than just it just being a painting. And your sentiment and the concept of your picture was beautiful. It was actually we both actually started crying when we read your piece, and we've actually your piece, the front and the back of yours will be in the exhibition, because I think it's a lovely explanation of the picture. I mean as a piece of artwork, I mean, I totally loved it as it was without reading the back.
Yeah, good. I'm glad it made a connection.
Yeah, it was lovely. I mean, you know, there was lots of them that made a connection. I mean, we hadn't actually thought people would paint him. That was quite strange at first, you know, seeing pictures of him coming back. And they captured him so well. And there were some really beautiful paintings of him. The one thing that we have discussed in your life is obviously at some point these will all come up for sale, which will be next year now. I think there's five or six pictures that contain an image of Noah, and at some point we might not win any of those five in the auction, and they're going to end up in someone else's house.
Yeah.
So there's a picture of our son in someone else's house. The bit that we've really loved about this is that, especially during the main lockdown period, where it was probably more prolific than it was kind of to the tail end of the project. We sort of quite often discuss that, you know, we're in so many other people's houses right now. You know, someone's sat there doing this, someone sat there talking to about their family, even if they're not an artist, they're talking about it as a happy story when things were really dark and unsure. And we really like that idea. It's all of the spin-off stuff which has made it so special.
Brilliant. And when are they going on sale?
I think we've agreed a date to go on sale for the 31st of January, and they'll run for a week, maybe 10 days. I think we've agreed a week. And they'll all go on eBay. It tended to be the common way to make it to reach a big audience for everyone.
And they have got the charity feature on there as well, haven't they? On eBay, where you, I think you pay less fees, don't you? Or no fees even?
I don't think you pay any fees as long as the funds go all the way to charity. So, and what's great about it is that, it's a platform that everyone's already got. I mean, it's a real shame that we can't do an opening evening at the gallery. But, we're disappointed by things like that. But we're also very aware that this project probably wouldn't have got off the ground without all of these restrictions either. Yeah. So, it's like it's the two edges of the sword. It probably wouldn't have happened if we hadn't had a lockdown.
Yeah, I mean, everyone's realised that things have had to change and we've got to rethink and redo things in a different way.
I mean, the gallery have agreed as well to put all of the pieces on their website as well as like an online gallery edition as well. Yeah. So if you can't get to it, you can still see the whole thing, which I think is really nice, because obviously we've got international artists that, it's too far for them to come and probably unsafe anyway for them to come even if they wanted to. So the gallery setup is there is a lot of work involved in it. And luckily their gallery's got a really good team. They've offered us some real heavy support with it. They understand that we're just a family and we're not dealing with people who've done this before. We're not an art organization or anything. They've really helped us, but it's still lots of work. Lots of emails again, which I don't do much of. And it's like a slightly enclosed room, so it'll all be in one area. And it looks amazing, kind of like where it is. And it's normally our favourite bit of the gallery. So
there you go.
It does just seem that the news just keeps on coming, which is really nice. We do have some more news to put out later, but I quite like drip feeding it.
Keeps going. Best way. Excellent.
I would like to just say one last thing to all of the people, everyone involved in this. Like I said from the beginning, it's been a completely community project, right down to a lady in the post office seeing me every day posting these things out, offering to pay for them because she'd realised that I'd already put out £500 worth of postage already. He's been stopped whilst out for a walk by a little young lad in the car who gave him 20 quid to put towards the postage. Wow. Friends, family who have come forward and just helped out in loads of ways, financially, kind of emotionally sometimes.
Any bit of support, welcome.
Just to be able to do things like this, kind of like someone has to look after Noah whilst this is going on, and things like that we have to sort of tie in. It's not like we can just drop everything to do something. So we have to kind of consider what we're doing all the time. Everyone has shown a lot of love for this. Right down to all of the followers that are following it, the lovely messages and conversations and chats that we've had with people. But it's all been very beautiful. It's been very heartwarming and deeply humbling. And actually still can't really believe we're where we are.
Excellent. Well, Nathan, good luck to you, Noah, your family, background Bob, and all the best for the 24th onwards.
Maybe catch you at the gallery.
I'll definitely be there. I'll see you soon, mate.
All right, see you later.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
And there you have it. Background Bob. Is that an inspirational story or what? So please, go over to Background Bob's Instagram page, say hello, give him a like, a thumbs up, and if you're able, purchase yourself a copy of Background Bob and His Amazing Friends. And if you happen to be in the Essex/Suffolk area from the 24th of October to the 31st of January, pop along to the First Sight Gallery in Colchester and see each artwork for yourself. So all the very best to Background Bob for his amazing book and his excellent exhibition. Hats off to you, my friend. And like I say every week, On whichever platform you listen to this podcast, you should be able to leave a comment. So if you could do that, that helps us to get noticed and anybody else looking for an art podcast. So, thanks for listening, and until next week, ta-da.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.